All right. So I think now it will be interesting to see another building of Ferrani in which the same the same elements that we've seen so far are put it into play, into action. We've seen the Rustici, and now we see what has been considered one of his masterpieces, that is the Asilo Sant'Elia. While the people of his arrival, you can see. The way to do it, I don't know if you have been organized to look at it, the best way is to go in the late afternoon as soon as the kids get out, otherwise you are not allowed to get in since the kids are, so you can try to arrange for a short visit at the end of the day, and when the kids are out it's possible to see it. That is the moment. Otherwise, it would be difficult, almost impossible. Okay, now let's see what's going on in this building. And again, we see the same elements of the theme of Terragni, but in a different context, in a different situation. If I where I put the plans. I was looking for the plan. Well, 41B. Huh? 41B. No, because this is, it seems to, but it's a villa on the lake. Well, we can do it in a second, it's not. We can do it a short, probably here too. Let's see. If I get it here, otherwise we'll look at it. It will not be too complicated. Do we want to see the plan? No, I will draw it. I will draw it for you.
I will draw it the same. It's more interesting to draw. Okay. So we've seen the Casa del Fascio that is divided in three parts in the plan. Okay? And we saw that the reason was to have all the people inside related to the people on the outside. as a motif of the facade, we've seen the vertical man in a way always ready to be bent in relationship with cutting edge with the other parts. And all the four facades are basically done in that way. And we saw the Rustici. The Rustici basically have the same scheme, it's in three parts, with just that these are apartments. It's there, there are apartments, there are apartments. And then we see that kind of new element in front that created the elevation with the large element sitting out and sitting on the street. Now we see the Asilo Sant'Elia. Believe it or not, the Asilo Sant'Elia that is a school for, it's a daycare, right? For people 3 to 5 years, it's called daycare or childcare? Daycare, it's a daycare school. It is also in organized in the same way. It is also organized in three parts. Like this. Basically following the same scheme. And with a series of variations on the theme and a series of attention that are differently. While this phase was kind of done to enhance a certain level of public relevance of this public building of the Casa del Fascio, while this phase, the idea of the urban fabric and of the collective life of the inside was related to the outside of the city. In this case, being a daycare, this is conceptually a garden. This is conceptually a garden. It is done so in the same way. But there are a few of other things that are interesting here. So we can take this theme and go up to understand better what's going on. So the money goes with his own or kind of prototypical scheme. He puts a garden here in Temple Rise. The kids need a garden. Then what he does, then he puts the rooms, the classrooms for the children along this side, and then he puts on this side the dining, the communal area, like the dining and other communal stuff. There's small stuff here, small stuff right there. What is extremely interesting, this garden is not immediately revealed of the outside, but is kind of filtered with a series of screening and a series of actions that happen along this area. What it does basically creates this part, it is actually an atrium that connects this part up to this part. Then there is kind of entrance over here. So you enter in the atrium, or you take kind of this corner, you go into different rooms, room that goes there. And then you put other elements that filter the presence of this sensor. And then he does another interesting thing that is looking at the urban scale. He locates this daycare on a way that there is a path when you go outside with a ramp that goes up to the roof. And this process is done in order to center in the process of going up a very important element of power and of his understanding of the city. There is this tower that sits there and that we've seen already like that is here. So the whole building is also that kind of climbing up of a larger scale.
So in this particular case, let's see the building a little bit better. Let's see how it is presented from the street. From the street we see this kind of block that are the two parts that we described, one containing substantially the dining and other activities, on this other side containing the classrooms, and then we feel that something is happening in the middle, and that is a key characteristic of the building. When we are inside, we are in this space, in the end, that picture is taken in the room, and we are looking out on the street. So we see all the street life kind of filtered by this element. Here we are in the space of mediation from the inside of and the outside on the street. And here instead of looking like we've done before from in this direction, we are looking in this direction. We are looking towards the courtyard. And we see that element over there, the kind of portico that sits over there, that kind of defined again the operations. Here we see the let's call it corridor, but inside here there are the different classrooms. The classrooms can be interconnected one to the other because they are lining up like that. Here we see the interior space, the central band, the central band of the project. Here are the classrooms interconnected. Here we see the window pane of the dining rooms looking on the inside space. Okay. And here we see the tower that I mentioned before. This tower is so important and so symbolic for Ferrari and for the people of Como. Tower that is called the Tower of Paravello is really crucial for the Como people because it is the tower that was put on the way that connects Como to Milano. So, in a way, was a symbol of Como, of the independence of Como, and was also a place that at the ancient time they were looking for soldiers arriving to Milano, from Milano, to attack the city. So, it was a point of control of the territory, and at the same time is a symbol. So Ferrari in a way is working all together around these themes. Okay. Now, why this building is probably a masterpiece of Italian architecture. Let's try to understand what are the kind of tensions that are happening here and around what motives happening in this particular building. On one side, there is always this idea of Ferragni, that there is a dialectic between the volume, the presence of the some kind of stereometric idea of the building. So the building is conceived basically in those three zones, and on certain parts it almost presents itself with that kind of continuity of masses and elements. But on the other side, that this idea of the three zones and the idea of the whole dynamics that are related, transparency, lightness, etc., of modern architecture are definitely part of this building. Basically, Terragni thinks around his team is always working syntactically on the same elements. But what is here the new force that arrives and creates a very particular situation is really this idea of nature. It's the first time that the nature arrives in its architecture with this level of strength. In all other cases, there are other issues, but in this case, it's really the idea. Okay, it's really the idea of the nature. And the idea of the nature is strictly, very closely connected with this idea of a school for the smallest. So he really thinks around these two themes. The presence of the nature within the construction on one side, but within his theme, within his way of doing construction. That's why you may understand this building also in comparison with the Casa del Fascio, the Casa Rustici. The theme is the same, but the accent in a way is very different here, because the presence of the children on one side, the relevance of nature on the other, makes a different mixture, and it's almost really an incredible building from many points of view. What he does is really imagine a sequence, he really imagine that this central zone on one side captures nature in the building, and on the other side is that central zone that acts as a dynamic curve, as almost something that really needs to push and move the construction in very different ways. It's like really a herd that falls inside, and that movement moves the construction. The construction cannot stay like it is. It really has to react to that element, and has to react both in this direction and in this direction. So it's like you capture the piece of natural life of many things inside it, and that thing pulls and moves and lets vibrate the construction in different ways. And this is really evident when you appreciate when you see the piece. The first movement that is pretty interesting is this one that is happening in this way. So, on one side, you may clearly say that this facade, this part of the building, is very different from this part of the building for functional reasons, and there are very good reasons to be that. But from the other side, that difference is also that thing that reveals the presence of this green herd. Because imagine, just look at the structure. The structure in this case is pulled out, is moved out, and in this case instead is received in. So, in this case the glass comes out and the structure is in, and here is the opposite. Here there are these kind of long strips and vertical strips. This is all with a window plane. So you really see that tension. And on the other side, or along the longitudinal axis, that thing is even stronger, because the ring is a sequence of elements that kind of filter the space, create a layers of space, and kind of push one with the other, relate one to the other. So here we are outside, and we see that element. We are here, back in the garden. We are looking at the building in this direction, and we see this element here. And they kind of create a first frame. The space, then what we see here is the atrium. The atrium creates another layer, and then there is one element that is a key element, is a key word of Terragni, that is kind of being, let me see where I have. Okay, we can see it already here. This element, this element here, that is almost pushed out, projected out of the building, and like that the garden creates a pressure there to reveal itself on the outside in a very original way, within always the idea that there is a building, there is a stereometry there. So that game of extremely dynamic forces, and on the other part, kind of stereometric masses, that is, as we mentioned before, the theme of the running, is so much present there. So at this point, we have to spend a word on what is really the key word of the running. Okay. So we discuss about what is the motive of Terrani, the theme of Terrani, and now we have to spend some words to understand what is one of the of his keywords. Keyword in terms of a word, I'm talking a word in architectural meaning, that in a way really reveals his attitude. And his attitude, his thematic search, is exactly that one of the contrast between masses and asymmetrical elements. And this word, I'm talking architectural terms, it is the frame. In Italian, il telaio. What is the frame? The frame is basically, you see, here in the back of the Officina del Gas is one of the first buildings that he designed, or you see here. What is the frame? The frame is a system, basically, that is exactly a symbolic word of Terrani of all its attitude, because it is a frame, basically, that plays many different roles at the same time. On one side, it reveals that there is a depth in the facade, because the frame is, in a way, can be seen as a first facade, a first element of the facade. On the other side, it is clearly an element that can be interpreted as a tectonic element, an element that is related to pilaster and beam. But in other cases, actually, the frame is not tectonic. We are going to see that Terrani doesn't use necessarily in a tectonic way. So it's a kind of a very ambiguous way of approaching it. On one side can be seen as tectonic, on the other side you can see it just as formal. On one way you can see it as belonging to the to a kind of idea of facade, on the other side you understand that it can be used to create different rhythms within the within the facade and different elements of that. And you can see a lot of Terrani buildings all going around this evolution of the frame. So here we see an example. We see it in the Casa del Fascio, how it was used there. Sorry. We see here, we can see this element in a way as a huge frame. Actually, it is a huge frame that is put it in front of the building over there, in front of these two parts of the building. And this is done for another reason. It's done to give urban dignity to this operation, you know, urban unity to an operation that on the other side was really composed in functional, summing up of functional elements. Then there is another story that is very interesting that is described in the book, and there are different elements in which shows, if we can take it, particularly if you look at the single family houses, we can see a whole evolution of this element. Let me see where is the picture. Okay. Okay. In this case, it's all drawings, but that shows four villa of Ferragni that he actually either designed or built. And it's very interesting to look at these four buildings as an evolution exactly of the idea of the frame. In a certain moment, Ferragni imagined that the way to solve this dialectic between volume on one side and asymmetrical elements and dynamic elements on the other was exactly the idea to create the building as a whole, as a box, of course, as Le Corbusier has done it already, but not as a box, but as an empty frame. And you see it clearly here in this building here that is called Villa del Floricoltore. What's happening here is that what is suspended, what is elevated, is not a box like Ville Savoie, but it is an empty box, is a frame, it's like a huge frame, you see? This huge frame, in a way, tells the story of the presence of the body, of the presence of something that is unified. On the other hand, exactly this allows the dialectic that is always interested in, which are the variation, all the variation of the parts and of the elements within the frame. You see here. So the whole thing is based on this dialectic. The frame as a unified element and then variation within that frame. And again, this makes sense within this particular cultural environment of the Italian of the 30s. Here you see another, in this particular building, there were some parts in which Ferragni didn't completely follow this concept because it was not completely clear to him. In this other building, that's called Villa del Lago, the idea was very much pointed out in all these elements. It's really exactly like that. It's really a frame with variation inside, with double level, double depth here, etc. And the frame can be, or the empty box can be excavated also in the roof. What happens here, and particularly here, this is the Villa Bianca, is another invention. The idea here is, why, instead of making a building suspended as an empty frame, why don't we bring the building down again, touching the ground? So the building is the building per se that has again all its mass and presence. But then I attack the building with a series of asymmetrical elements. So I attack the building from all the different points, down, 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 down. And are those elements that attack the building that move it back dynamically. So one way you look at this and this, you see that are very different. On a way, what is interesting is that the theme is always the same. The theme is always the same, because the theme is really the struggle between unity and masses and asymmetrical tension. That is the theme of the writing. But it's done very differently, in a very different way. Here, elevating an empty box and keeping that kind of purity of the empty box as an element that is unifying, but moving all the asymmetrical part within it, and here instead is the opposite approach. You have really a box. The box is really sitting on the ground, and then you attack very asymmetrically the box from the outside. And what is interesting is that the frame as a concept arrives here and becomes one of these independent, probably the most important elements that attack the box. So the frame in this particular case that we have seen as a part of the facade of the Casa del Fascio, so completely integrated with the facade in that kind of game, here instead becomes an independent element that attacks the building. And basically, so if we see this picture, here it is, you see? Here it is. You see the building as a box sitting there, and then you see this frame attacking it from the outside and moving it dynamically. And here, again, in the Asilo Sant'Elia, is exactly the same story, but what makes this really incredible is that this action of the independence of the frame, of the fact that the frame in some way creates a dialectic with the old building, is done for a very profound reason. It's not only a syntactic game, it really tells the story of the building. And the story of the building is exactly that dialectic of being the piece of nothing that is captured in, and then in kind of use, create a kind of almost an earthquake within the building, and then both will be revealed from the outside, both will be react to the different parts of the building. So, I think that is more than enough, and we can finish with going up to two key issues that have to say something again with the questions that we put for ourselves. That was the idea of the statue, the idea of what was the theme of the Ragni, but there are two elements that we have to talk a little bit now to understand better this matter. The issue is the modernity, the crisis, and saying something about the time and the struggle that all that generation was facing. First of all, let's talk about the idea of modernity. For them, for that generation, the idea of modernity was absolutely crucial. They wanted absolutely to belong to the renovation of their times. They want to absolutely adhere to the issues of functionality, transparency, new hygiene, new constructing system, and so on and so forth, that all the revolution of the modern movement. And for them, all those practical issues, the new construction, the hygiene, the old functionality, etc., etc., were not only practical matters, they were at the same time practical matters and aesthetical matters. They were at the same time issues that has to be faced, and the only way to address those issues was to tackle and to understand what type of new aesthetic must be found in order to really address them. The whole interest of that moment was exactly in the combination of these two levels. The issue was not only practical, was practical and at the same time aesthetical. And the aesthetic was the highest way in which those practical matters and new matters can be addressed. For example, just to make it very banal, but in order to be understandable, at a certain moment in the scene appeared something like reinforced concrete. Was important to build in reinforced concrete. Why? For a series of reasons. First of all, because it was much safer. Secondly, because it was lighter. Thirdly, because it allowed to have open plans and a much more rational distribution, etc. But at the same time, the issue was not only try to understand why these things were, how you can do these things. The real issue was also try to understand why architecture must be completely different from the past in order to address those issues. It must be. It doesn't make any sense to do a building in reinforced concrete and then masquerade it up with Renaissance style, right? Because it doesn't make sense. The real problem is, do a building that is efficient, logical, constructive, in consistently for reinforced concrete, but at the same time find the aesthetic for that. That was the struggle. And that generation was working on that. And we can make the same example with glass. Of course we want to use glass. It's much more hygienical, can allow to look in the outside, makes more practical things, etc., etc., etc. But again, the issue is not only to do those things. The issue is to understand what type of new aesthetic must be found with glass, with reinforced concrete, and other issues like that. So that was the issue. And for them, the issue to be modern exactly means to have the capability to address the issues, those issues at the same time, address the new practical issues at the same time as finding a new aesthetic. That's why, basically, we can look at this building from a purely practical point of view, how it is distributed, how efficient is the distribution, the fact that the structure is reinforced concrete at a certain span, the fact that there is glass that allows the vision from the outside. But the issues were not only that. The issues was really to understand a more complex, much higher level. So that was the issue of modernity. And this issue of modernity was a tremendous crisis for them. Was not an easy job. Was a crisis because was the search for a new that is known, that was had to be done, but was not known how to do it. And the crisis was even more intense because was played in a ground that is the enemy ground, because was the ground of the traditional architecture in Italy, of the very academic education, with extremely little possibility of having public commission and things like that. So it was a very complex struggle on a way. So being able to address all these issues creates the level of importance and the stature of this work. That is why it is also so relevant. And now the last touch, that is only a touch to show you that behind all this there is also a man, there is also a story, there is also a moment of time of history. Because we describe the whole struggle of Ferragni as the struggle from, on one side there is a principle of order. When we talk of volume, we talk of masses, we talk of that thing on one side. On a way we can call this as a principle of order. And on the other side, there is a principle of freedom. When we talk of free planes, abstraction, dynamic, all that presence to be kind of breathe the air of international, of what's going in the art, in the other culture outside Italy. So, on one side there is the principle of order, on the other side there is the principle of freedom. And these two issues are not only an issue of architecture of Ferragni, because we discuss this as issues of architecture of Ferragni, are also the issues of the life of that generation. They themselves, they were exactly in their day-to-day life, were struggling this problem. They were struggling, on one side, there is the idea of the state, of the regime, of all the dogma that the fascism was giving them, I would say, from the moment in which they were born, because they were born already in almost, you know, they were kids, they were grown up as kids within that ideology. The idea that there is, a head, there is a leader, there is a very important structure, the structure is military-oriented, all that on one side, as everyday presence in their life. And all the other side, there is the struggle and the effort towards freedom and towards, you know, understanding, or I would say feeling that there is something else, you know, there is some other things. All these things come together in a very dramatic point, because as we said, Terlani went to the war, the last 4 years of his life went to the war, and then basically at the end he almost died after the war. Actually, he went in Russia and he followed a series of dramatic things happened during the war, and so basically he came back to Como that was a destroyed man and died very young. So along these lines that you probably, some of them you felt, I would not say necessarily to a superficial level, but as probably many of them as the first time, I'm sure that you'll go to these issues more and more in your life, probably seeing the architecture, you understanding something more. If we want, we can discuss more if this is in your plan later, and surely reading will be important for you. But it's really something important here, and it's not a case that the master of Cornell, that is of course Colin Rowe, was a person that devoted so much attention to Giuseppe Terlani. Actually was the person that revealed Terlani to a series of persons, first of all exactly Peter Eisman, that when he was young went with Colin Rowe in Como, and then he wrote and studied a lot, but not only to Peter Eisman, but to many other persons. Before, with your professor John, I was mentioning Schumacher, that is another pupil of Rowe again. So just to tell you that around this there is a lot to be studied, and I think more to be studied, more to be passionate with. Okay, thank you very much.